I'm WBJC's Interim General Manager, Jonathan Polevsky. The end of June marks the end of our fiscal year, and I'd like to thank everyone who pledged, everyone who listened during this time to support WBJC. I thought it might be nice to say thank you by highlighting the life and works of a different composer each day until June 30th. Let's call it 30 in 30. By the way, if you didn't make a pledge, you can still be a part of our fundraising efforts this fiscal year by going to WBJC.com. Salute your partner to the While Scott Joplin didn't invent ragtime, he was certainly among its first and greatest practitioners. He was born in Northeast Texas in either 1867 or 68 and lived until April 1, 1917. His works include songs, marches, two unfinished operas, and of course, rags for solo piano. Joplin's first published music in March of 1899 was entitled Original Rags, but it was his publication of the Maple Leaf Rag in August of that year which made people sit up and take notice. The piece was published by John Stilwell Stark, and the composer received one penny for each copy sold over 25 cents. While this sounds ridiculously exploitive and probably was, the Maple Leaf Rag became so popular that it gave Joplin steady income for the rest of his all-too-short life. After a few solo piano editions, the work was reissued as a song with words by Sidney Brown. The Maple Leaf Rag has also been orchestrated for just about anything imaginable. Dance bands, brass bands, and orchestras. You name it, there's probably an arrangement of it. Joplin tried for years to replicate the work's success, but alas, it was not to be. The earliest recording we have of it is by the United States Marine Band, America's oldest continuous performing ensemble, and is from 1906. Joplin did create a piano roll of the Maple Leaf Rag in 1916, a year before his death, but sadly his keyboard skills were hampered due to debilitating illness. The composer requested that the Maple Leaf Rag be played at his funeral. His wife felt that the boisterous nature of the music was ill-suited to the occasion. It was a decision she regretted for the rest of her life. By 1918, the ragtime craze was over. America had moved on to other genres such as jazz and novelty piano. Ragtime never completely disappeared from the American scene, and Joplin's compositions were recorded by Tommy Dorsey in 1936, Jelly Roll Morton in 1939, and J. Russell Robinson in 1947. In the 1960s, composers such as William Bolcom and William Albright became interested in resurrecting classic American ragtime music, and even in the case of William Bolcom, wrote some fabulous new rags himself. The two composers approached their colleague, pianist Joshua Rifkin, and in November of 1970, Rifkin released a recording on the then totally obscure Nonesuch label of something called an LP record, which was entitled Scott Joplin Piano Rags. It sold 100,000 its first year and would eventually sell over a million. Rifkin was nominated for 3 Grammys, and though he didn't win, he took Joplin's music on tour all over the world. After hearing the recording, New York Times music critic Harold Schoenberg declared, "Scholars, get busy on Scott Joplin." Thank you. In February of 1973, Gunther Schuller created the New England Conservatory Ragtime Ensemble. They recorded an album of Joplin pieces, which won a Grammy for Best Chamber Music Performance and was Billboard's top classical album of 1974. But wait, there's more. That same year, 1973, Joshua Rifkin and Gunther Schuller were contacted by film producer George Roy Hill. He was working on a movie entitled The Sting and felt that ragtime music would be the perfect genre to accompany the film. For whatever reason, neither were interested in the project, so he turned to one Marvin Hamlisch, whose adaptations of Joplin's music, particularly The Entertainer, won him an Oscar for Best Original Song Score and Adaptation. Up until that point, The Entertainer, a ragtime two-step, had been a relatively obscure piece of music. Now it was top of the charts in both classical and pop music worlds. Joshua Rifkin said that Hamlisch had stolen his piano style for the movie and copied Gunther Schuller's arrangements. Gunther Schuller said that Marvin Hamlisch got the Oscar for music he didn't write and arrangements he didn't make. A lot of people were upset by that, but that's show business. Sour grapes much? You bet. But let's not end there. How about this? Joplin's contemporary, the composer Monroe H. Rosie Rosenfeld, once described The Entertainer and perhaps in general Joplin's music like this. It is a jingling work of a very original character, embracing various strains of a retentive character which set the foot in spontaneous action and leave an indelible imprint on the tympanum. I couldn't have said it better. I'm WBJC's Jonathan Pilevsky. Hope you enjoyed today's 30 and 30. If you'd like to support WBJC's musical endeavors, you can go to WBJC.com.